Good morning, saints. I once read this definition of a toddler: an emotionally unstable pint-sized dictator with the uncanny ability to know exactly how far to push you towards utter insanity before reverting to such a lovable creature. The other day, a mom of this toddler, of a toddler, said to me, "You know, I never know what to say to people when they ask me what my hobbies are. I mean, I'm a mother of a toddler. I enjoy trips of going to the bathroom alone and any other peace and quiet I can get." I wonder, is it only parents of toddlers or just certain personality types, you know, introverts? Or at some point in all of our lives, don't we all need some peace and quiet? Thinking about a broader definition of peace and a broader definition of reconciliation, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. comes to mind today as we celebrate his birthday tomorrow. Tomorrow is a federal holiday in the United States, signed into law by President Ronald Reagan in 1983. It honors Dr. King's achievements as the chief spokesperson for peaceful, nonviolent activism in the civil rights movement to end racial segregation, and so much more. This date is observed every year on the third Monday in January, which is close to Dr. King's January 15th birthday. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was one of the most influential African-American civil rights leaders during the 1960s. He was instrumental in the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which outlawed discrimination in public accommodations, facilities, and employment. And probably, maybe even more important, he was instrumental in the passage of the Voting Rights Acts of 1965. He was awarded the Nobel Prize for Peace in 1964. Dr. King often spoke about peace, and I quote, "Peace is not merely a distant goal that we seek, but a means by which we arrive at that goal. Peace cannot be kept by force. It can only be achieved by understanding. We must come to see that the end we seek is a society at peace within itself, a society that can live with its conscience." Dr. King was a child of God, as each of us are children of God. In today's gospel, Jesus turns and asks each of us, "What are you looking for?" When they responded, he said, "Come and see." So what is it you're in search of? What is it you want? What does your heart desire more than anything else in the world? It's not always easy to answer this question. Over the years, it may change. What is it that you are looking for? think that if we're not careful, we may never get around to asking this holy question. Recently, David and I were going through our now adult daughter's collection of childhood books when I came across one of my favorites, Shel Silverstein's The Giving Tree. The Giving Tree. It's a beautiful story about a boy and his tree. I know that many of you know and love this story. Let me just give you a synopsis. There was a time when all the boy wanted was to play in her branches and eat apples and be happy. But in time, the boy begins to grow up. He goes away for a while, and when he comes back, the tree invites him to come and play in her branches and eat apples and be happy. But he says, "No, I have no time to do that. What I really need is some money. Do you have any money for me?" the boy asks. And the tree tells him, "I don't have any money, but take some of my apples and sell them in the city, and then you'll have money and be happy." And the boy does. And the tree is happy. Yet we never hear about the boy. He's away for a long time again, and when he comes back, the tree invites him to come and play. But the boy declines, and this time he says he needs a house. Could the tree give him a house? She tells him to cut down her branches and build a house and to be happy. He cuts them down, and the tree is happy. He goes away for a long time again, and when he returns, this time he's much older and much sadder. He asks her for a boat to sail away on. She tells him to cut down her trunk and make a boat and be happy. He cuts down her trunk, and again the tree is happy. Yet again, he goes away for a long time until he finally returns, and this time he is very old and very tired. And the tree, now only a stump, begins to apologize for not having anything left to offer him. But he stops her and says, "I just need a place to sit." So she straightens herself up and says, "Come, boy, and sit down and be happy." And he does. And again, the tree is happy. You know, it's funny. For the longest time, I'd read this story and relate it to sacrificial love, giving everything of ourselves because we love that other person. The tree's holy willingness to give all that she has to that boy. And indeed, the story may be just about that. Yet the more and more I have begun to wonder if this story may also be a parable or a story about our human inability to know what it is we're looking for. What is it that will bring us peace? When I'm upset, when I'm anxious, I often ask, "Well, Rebecca, what's going to bring you a sense of peace?" Only I can do that for myself. It's nothing from outside of me. It's something that is from within. I wonder, how are you the boy in the story? And how are you the tree in the story? What ways do you behave like the boy, and what ways do you behave like the tree? And today's gospel story, John the Baptist is the only one drawn to confess that Jesus is the Lamb of God. His disciples call Jesus Rabbi, meaning teacher. They go and hang out with him, but they haven't made the leap to understand that Jesus is the Lamb of God. They're not there, not by a long shot. The good news for them, and the good news for us, is there is always room for the curious. That's why curiosity is really important in answering that question, what are you looking for? John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And we know Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away our sin and our collective sin by showing us and by acting like the tree, showing us the self-sacrificing love of God, drawing us to faith in God's love. The deepest desire God has for us is to be at peace. Jesus asks us, what are we looking for? And in the meantime, simultaneously, Jesus is loving us, pouring himself out for us, strengthening us to love and be at peace within ourselves so that we may be peacemakers with others. Jesus does all these things, even when we may not know what we're looking for. Let the church say amen.